It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Argued for this for years. It's been a frequent point of discussion on this show. I know that our audience is split. It's not an easy issue with 100% agreement, but the state of Texas is taking what I think is the right move. Texas has become the latest state to allow college athletes to be paid for the use of their name, image, or likeness. At least 15 states have passed bills lifting the ban on allowing student athletes to be paid by outside parties since California was the first state to approve the change 2 years ago. NCAA rules currently ban athletes from receiving any kind of compensation other than a scholarship for playing college sports. This law would not change that ban on direct payment by a college or university, but would allow college athletes to receive payment elsewhere. The NCAA Board of Governors had voted to allow players to be paid for their name or likeness back in October of 19, but the Division I Council postponed a vote on specific rules in January as they continued discussions with the federal government over the rules. In recent months, federal lawmakers have rushed to pass a federal bill that would provide national guidance on the issue before five state bills across the country go into effect July 1st. Currently, students who accept money for their stature as college athletes could lose eligibility to play in the NCAA. So to be clear, that means their state would allow them to be paid, but the NCAA, under the current rules, would ban them. Well, that's not going to happen. That's going to be real bad publicity. Texas's law also goes into effect July 1st because it received two-thirds of the vote in each chamber. Under the legislation, college athletes also would be allowed to hire an agent to represent them. Silly part of the legislation is it requires athletes to take a financial literacy workshop during their first and third years. Student athletes still would be barred from entering into contracts with particular industries, including alcohol, tobacco products, casino gambling, a firearm the student can't legally purchase, or a sexually oriented business. So, where to begin? You know, I spent a lot of time last night pondering the subject of the university, the academy in modern life, and how it has changed. It got me to thinking because I was reading an article, yet another one of these studies that was done on the political ideology and downright advocacy of college professors, and that the studies that have been done over the years, there's not a good baseline for what university faculty politically felt in the 50s and even the 60s. But in the 60s, particularly the late 60s, pre-Woodstock and kind of what we think of as the Woodstock era, flower power, whatever you want to call it, civil rights, Vietnam protest, the university became a tumultuous place where young people were really fighting with the establishment of society for control. And what's happened is that generation has now come of age. That generation has now come of age and passed on to another generation. And in the process, the university is no longer what it once was. which was a place for thought, discussion, interaction, intellectual growth, development, and to some extent, preparation for adulthood in the real world, or at least in the corporate world. Because I would argue that a kid who graduates high school at 18, goes into the Marines, goes off and fights one of our forever wars, comes home to the family farm, and has to balance the books, till the soil, get the product to market, pay the banks off, start a family, and do it year after year. I think that guy's in the real world too. And he never went to the university. In fact, I would argue that guy lives more in the real world, the real, cruel, harsh reality, than the kid who goes to college and spends four or, chuckle, chuckle, five, six, seven, 8 years going to toga parties, focused on fraternities and girls and who knows what else. Nothing wrong with that, but let's not say that that's necessarily the real world, because it's a little bubble of the real world. But somewhere along the way, and you can start to chart it, I was at University of Houston from 89 to 93, and then went off to UT, but I wasn't really part of the UT student scene. I was locked away in the library, because if you do law school the way you're supposed to do law school, because you need to get a law job at the end, you got to come out high in your class to get the good jobs, which means you have no time for anything else. So I really wasn't watching what was going on at the university at that time. I can't tell you. But I do know that after I left, watching what was going on and hearing from people, I started noticing a transition. And I don't know that it was necessarily led by administrators as much as it was wacky faculty. But my view of the university has changed dramatically. I don't think we don't need universities, but I do think we need to burn them down and rebuild them, because I think they're so far off track that you can't fix it, particularly with a tenure system. A faculty member gets tenure and they can't be fired. You're not firing that faculty member. It's worse than the federal government. At least there are some things with the federal government that you might squeeze someone out. With a faculty member, the protection of academic independence has gone so far that I'm not sure if Ted Bundy was a faculty member today that he wouldn't still be teaching, or not, they don't teach classes, he still wouldn't be getting paid from the University of Florida. It's that bad. Slight exaggeration, but it's that bad for the sake of this argument. With that in mind, any of the old-fashioned notions of, they shouldn't get paid, it's part of my alma mater. I like to throw my hook 'em horns up or gig 'em. I like to wear my colors and go to the school and cheer for my team. Those kids on that field hate you. Kellen Mond throws a real pretty pass. Kellen Mond hates the history of this state. And there's a lot more, and it's only getting worse. Those guys are the worst social justice warriors there are, and the university is reaffirming it. Let them get paid.
Michael Berry Show. If he doesn't say it, who will? You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a
guy. It was 11 years ago today that the Big Four of thrash metal did a show together for the first time ever on the same bill. I'll give you a moment to say out loud, in case anybody else is listening, what the four thrash metal bands were that played that day. Ramon, do you know where the concert was? Oh, they toured together. You know what? It's probably one of our listeners who went to that tour somewhere and may remember. I'm just curious what the cost of a ticket was on the same bill for Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. Now, I might lose some of my street cred with a good deal of our audience, but I don't really think I would be interested in that show. I might like to see Metallica, but I just... Too loud. Yeah, exactly. Too loud. Hey, excuse me, sir. You go up to the guy with the IFB in his ear. He's standing real stern. He's up front. He's got his hands crossed in front of him, looking out, pretending he's a cop, which he's not, but always wanted to be, but couldn't pass the test. What? Hey, sir, could you turn it down a little bit? It's a little loud in here. It's a little loud. If you could maybe turn it down, that'd be good. Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax. How many Anthrax songs can you name, Ramon? Zero. Is Anthrax the one with that dude that has the Jeff Bagwell goat? Yeah. Every VH1 TV show interviews him. It doesn't matter what it's about. Bill Cosby's a rapist. What do you think? And he's actually very well spoken. He's all cleaned up. He even, you know, kind of tidied up that goatee thing. Slayer, can you name one Slayer song? Yeah, I can't either. How about Megadeth? Yeah, Symphony of Destruction would be my only one. And Metallica. Megadeth was the dude that got kicked out of Metallica. You know the story behind that? I believe I'm right on this. He was in Metallica, and he was so drunk he couldn't show up to shows, and they just kicked him out. And it devastated him. He was depressed. I think they were in New York. He goes home to L.A. I think this is the same guy. His name is escaping me right now. But he goes out and starts Megadeth and actually does pretty well for himself. Here's another band I can't name one song for, but I know a lot of our listeners, or some of our listeners do. On this day in 2007, Muse became the first band to sell out the rebuilt Wembley Stadium in London when about 90,000 fans see them perform. See, this is really more kind of my speed. On this day in 2002, a remixed version of Elvis Presley's 68 single, A Little Less Conversation, hits number one in the UK, released as part of a successful plan by his estate to claim the UK record for most number one hits on the tally from the Beatles. That's a pretty clever move. To become the number one, to have the most number one hits in the UK and outdo the Beatles? That's pretty impressive. So I want to go back to this because it turns out to be way more important. It's like deadbeat dads in the inner city. It's one of these things that doesn't get enough conversation for how important it is at the root of so much that is wrong in our society. And that is where the university has gone wrong. And in fact, before you call, let me kind of build some parameters here. But we're going to have to fix this, or we're not going to fix the problems in this country. And the reason is, if you go into the hospital and you're bleeding out so fast that in an hour you're going to die, you might have a cold. You might. And you might have a toe fungus, and it's bothering you. And you got an earache, and it's unpleasant. And you might even need a tooth pulled. You're in bad shape. I get the point. You're in bad shape. That's the American body politic. That's where we are. But if we don't stop the bleeding first, this problem just gets worse. We've got to cut off the supply line. There is a supply line of young, stupid university graduates or former university students, whether they graduated or not, who are the foot soldiers of the left, and they are using our universities as a recruiting station. And make no mistake, that's not an exaggeration. These kids, I'm never going to name names because I would not do that. It would not be fair to the parents. But I have had parents. One particularly comes to mind and it's painful. This kid goes off to college. She is toward the top of her class, if not valedictorian. I don't know. she's a 4.0 student, although I think they do 4.3 now. Anyway, she's a very good student for what that's worth. She's whatever girls do, drill team, cheerleading, volleyball. She's in sports, which I think sports are good for some kids because it keeps them out of trouble. I really do. I think having a focus, that 14 to 18-year-old period, you should either have a job or extracurricular activities or both, because I don't think it's healthy for kids at that age to not have things that keep them occupied at all times. And the older I get, the more I believe that to be the case. It was true for me. Anyway, this girl goes off from, I'm not going to say where, but let's say she's from Manville, Pearland, Sugarland, League City, Texas City, Katy, Cypress, Tomball. You know who I'm talking about. You know what type of kid I'm talking about. Good values. Goes to church. A serious Christian. Solid girl. Kind of girl you would hope your boy would meet and marry. Beautiful girl, beautiful person, good person, respectful, decent, values, grounded, based, knows who she is, patriotic. Gets to college, and by the end of the second year, she has her hair colored. I think they do it with crayons now, and I'm not even joking. She's got her hair colored some purple. Now, I know. You're probably saying, oh, here he goes. He's going to start talking about tattoos and colored hair and bones through the nose, and that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Damn sure does. That does not make you a whack job. I'm not saying it does. My assistant has more. I didn't know. I can't imagine how much ink she has on her body. I can't imagine. It blows my mind. And I feel like I'm her dad because her dad's a dear friend of mine. And she'll tell me she got a new tattoo and it's on her arm. You can't even see it because it's a tattoo on top of a tattoo. And she grew out of kind of the wacky phase. Great person, very grounded, solid, good person. But I will tell you that when a kid goes into that phase doing permanent markings to themselves in public face and on public parts of their body, at such a young age, that's basically irreversible, that tells you much more than what they chose out of the catalog for the tattoo. It tells you, it is a revelation of what's going through their jangled mind at that point. And I'm telling you that the university is contributing to a jangled mind of self-loathing, parent-loathing, country-loathing, and we're paying for it.
Activate the Michael Berry Show.
Dear God, on the station that carried Paul Harvey, we are now playing Raining Blood by Slayer. And there we are. And there we are. Oh, my. We might have pulled a couple of Rod Ryan listeners over. Do they still play Slayer on the Buzz? I'm assuming this is on the hot list of Buzz. But I'll tell you, I switched over one day, and they were playing something. They were playing like a Red Hot Chili Peppers song that you might hear on Sunny. And I meant to ask Rod, because we have our bathroom breaks are synced up. What in the hell? Y'all can't be playing stuff that's also played on Sunny. I actually could hear and understand some of the lyrics. I felt, you know what's so funny about this? I wasn't going to tell you this, but you made me think of it. The thrasher metal discussion we had on air, and Ramon and I were talking about it off air. I didn't tell you right before we started the show. The house we rented up here is on the side of a mountain. And so it's built on a slant, right? It's angled like a triangle cut in half. So every room, you can't stand up in the rooms or you'll hit your head. You got to go to the middle of the room, which is a terrible architectural style. It looks good from outside, and it allows you to have as your roof in a room glass, but it also means I bust my head, and I did it twice. So I have a ringing headache right now. And I can't imagine anybody thinks that's a good state of affairs, right? Like, you think of all the bang your head lyrics of when we were growing up. But I can honestly say I never, ever, ever, even once had an inclination to smash my head against anything. Did you? Ever. Never once. I never really thought of my head as something I wanted to hit against a wall. Because I can't imagine an immovable object would appreciate being thumped. I'm not doing any damage to it. Man, I feel so old right now. Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, and Anthrax played on the same bill on this day, the first time the Big Four of thrash metal do a show together in 2010. And I can't name anything other than Metallica songs, and probably fewer Metallica songs than I should. And that's mostly because I went back later and studied Metallica to understand their influence, and not because I was crazy for Metallica at the time. In fact, there was probably a point in time that I couldn't really tell you much of a difference between Def Leppard and Metallica. But I do know that I liked Def Leppard, and I wished I liked Metallica, but really didn't. Thrasher metal never much did it for me. Okay, so Tom Wren was kind enough to send us a photo of the ticket. This was the concert at Yankee Stadium. Now, remember, we told you that this day in 2010 was the first time they played together, so I guess they did go on tour, because here it is. New York Yankees and Metallica present the Big Four, Yankee Stadium, September 14th, 2011. That's for a general admission. For a general admission ticket, it was $179.50, which, now I don't know if you got to go to the game as well for $179, because if it was, then the Yankees would have absorbed some of the cost of that just to get people into the stadium that would be samplers that might come back another day. But it could be that it was a totally separate ticket. Oh, gates at 2 and show at 4. Maybe. That seems like a weird time of day to watch a thrasher metal concert, doesn't it? Doesn't thrasher metal seem like something you would only want to watch at midnight? This has opened so many questions for me. So many questions. Back to the university. I didn't get a chance to flesh out the argument I was trying to make there. So the state of Texas has joined with these other states now that is, let's see, there are 15 states now. Chad thinks there may be more. He's checking. In 15 states that now say that a college athlete can get paid for the use of his likeness. So if some jersey company, you know who's going to come in and buy up all these athletes is Nike. And as much as I hate them, it's the principle of the thing. I don't have a problem if you go to college and people are making money off your image and you get paid for it. I don't. Now, as we have this discussion, there usually are some people who call up and don't like college athletes. And I understand that. But your position on this shouldn't be whether you think that these are punks, whether you think that they're ill-behaved, whether you think that they shouldn't get a free education when they're really there to play football. I mean, honestly, I'd like to see the numbers on what percentage of kids go to college on a football scholarship, make the starting lineup, offense or defense or baseball or basketball. I'll bet you in football and basketball, the numbers are staggeringly low. Now, I'm not talking about some kid that plays special teams that maybe, you know, actually is there for the education. And it's probably different at Rice and the Ivy League than it is at the football schools. But I'd be interested to see What percentage? Actually, let's just go ahead and have this conversation because it is tinged. There's a lot of racial overtones. There's a lot of socioeconomic overtones. But let's have, for the sake of today's discussion, let's peel it all back and have a conversation by, let's start with a conclusion we might not agree with, just to flesh out the arguments. Let's talk about eliminating all college sports. Just hold on.
Backing the blue. And our vets, too. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Are you sure this is thrasher metal? Because I can actually understand the words. It sounds like a poor man's Rush. Actually, that sounds like a lot of late 70s, early 80s rock. Like Foreigner, Cheap Trick. I mean, it has the same vibe. If that's thrasher metal, is that a typical Anthrax song? Because it doesn't sound like. I always wonder, what is 93-year-old Lois thinking when we go off on a tangent about thrasher metal? Probably the same thing the college kids that listen are thinking when I start talking about Lawrence Welk. So I got an email during the break that used the word hypocrite. Czar, you're being something of a hypocrite. You love college sports. I do love college sports. Absolutely. I used to anyway. I'm aggravated with them because they're using a platform of celebrity to push for politics when that's not what any of us wanted them to do, which they're free to do. But I'm not going to continue to build their celebrity to increase their platform. That would be self-defeating of me. I'm not going to invest in a technology or a product or service that seeks to destroy me or my way of life. So my fandom of these athletes and their sports contributes to them having a greater platform, which they use to tell me I'm a racist and this country's awful and tear down monuments. And so the only thing I can withhold is being a fan of it. Now, look, you're going broke in sports if I'm your fan anyway, because I don't go. And if I go, it's because somebody else has tickets. But my point is, I'm certainly not going to build their credibility. Now, I'm not against college sports in the same way that I'm not against professional sports, per se. But let's stop. Some of you need to quit with this idea that you went to A&M and you really, really like that institution. It's where you met your wife, your frat boy, your frat buddies, your frat brothers are still friends of yours. Great. All of that is great. But don't tell me that some kid that goes there because that's his best opportunity to launch to the NFL has anything to do with you because he wears the jersey of the same color that you wear your Columbia fishing shirt to get to the game to watch him run up and down the field. If you think y'all have anything in common, anything at all, you're dead wrong. He could have just as easily been playing for UT or Alabama or Ohio State. And if he had been told he could start there his freshman year, he'd be Roll Tide Roll and not Gig'em. You might have gone to A&M because your daddy and granddaddy went there, and you went in the Corps, and you served, and you love the school, and you still give them money, and you hope your own kid goes there. But guess what? He doesn't care where his kid goes. He cares where his kid gets the most playing time. Let's stop acting like college athletes are committed to an institution and their history and what they excel at. Do you think Jim Everett went to Purdue to play quarterback because they have a great nationally renowned engineering program? Do you think Kellen Mond went to Texas A&M to sling a football around and be a social justice warrior because they have the best ag program in the country? Seriously? Well, every institution, every tradition, every ritual that makes A&M special, Kellen Mond has called racist, including the donors, the alumni, half the coaching staff. You think the kids going to UT have a great respect for Daryl K. Royal and how he took boys and made them men 60 years ago? No. No. That's not why they're there. That is a stepping stone to the NFL. Now, my buddy Bob Merrill has worked in sports media for years, and he sent me a link to an article that says 90% of NCAA, I didn't read the article, which is typical, but let me dispel this myth right now. It says D1 college athletes reach 90% graduation rate. All right. First of all, under Title IX, you got to have all these other sports. I'll bet you the football team doesn't graduate 90%. I bet you the football team graduates 50% and the swim team graduates 100%. And you got more. If you go through all those other programs, that pulls up the average, number one. Number two, don't take some corn-fed kid from Tomball whose dad's an engineer and his mom is a principal or a superintendent who went to college, played 4 years at right guard, got a 3.6 GPA, and when he graduates, is going for his MBA and maybe go get his master's in engineering in a joint program at MIT. That kid is not a typical college football player. And if you're going to take the exception and use that as a rule, we can't have a serious, honest conversation. Now, you can call up, as people often do, and I'm open to the argument, you could say, Michael, college sports, like college football and basketball, are the opportunity for inner-city kids to get a college education. Okay, well then why do they need to be distracted by football? Number one. And if you tell me that you want to take some kids from the inner city and send them to the university, I'm actually all for that. Because those kids could go back to those communities and show you can do it. You can go get an education. But that's not what they go back to the community with the message of. They go back to the community with, I play sports. So the kids confuse playing sports with getting an education. The kids are not working hard in school because I, too, want to get an education the way that college athlete did. The kids want to run faster, throw harder, make better catches, have a better touchdown dance. And by the way, if you're going to choose inner-city kids, which is a code for black kids, and send them to college without them having to pay because they can't afford to, I'm all for that. How did you decide that it would be the kids who can entertain you on a football field? Why don't we take inner-city black kids who want to study engineering?